Hey everybody, what is going on? Juan Carlos here. Welcome to So NWA, the podcast about serving others here in Northwest Arkansas.
That's right, everybody. We're your hosts. I'm Enrique, and of course, I'm here with my brother, Juan Carlos. We are both proud natives of our Northwest Arkansas area, and we've seen the community grow and change over the years.
That's right, guys. Each episode, we highlight the entrepreneurs, the artists, and everyday people who make this area such a great place we call home. And we talk about anything from real estate to local businesses to restaurants to hidden gems and community stories. We cover it all.
Absolutely, guys. But we're not just podcast hosts. We are also real estate agents. We're helping people buy, sell, invest, or get connected here in Northwest Arkansas.
That's right, guys. So whether you're here for the first time or you are new to the area, we'd love to share a good story. You are here in the right place.
Yeah, and if you guys ever need help with any real estate, whether you're buying, selling, or you just want to explore our Northwest Arkansas area, feel free to reach out. You can find us on Instagram at SoNWAPodcast or email us at SoNWA@gmail.com.
Guys, let's get into today's episode. Folks, today we have, and I always say this, we have special guests with us, today we definitely have special guests with us. Today we want to welcome to the show a driving force, a power couple behind the most successful real estate team here in our region. With nearly 20 years combined experience, this duo has led their team to become the number one Keller Williams team in Arkansas. Their team's track record is staggering. They have served over 2,000 families and achieved over 600.
We'll take 20,000.
That's the goal.
Yes, that's the goal. That's where we're going.
And have produced over $685 million in sales volume.
Individually, Cody Dooley is a powerhouse in her own right. She's a Northwest Arkansas native who has personally closed over 500 transactions that total over $200 million in sales volume. And then there is Mike Dooley. You know, he's the operating partner for Keller Williams Market Per Realty in Northwest Arkansas. He leads a massive organization of almost 400 agents who produce over $1 billion in annual sales volume. But he's also a serial entrepreneur and innovator. He's the inventor of the Easy Sign and Key Box Keeper. He's also a co-founder of a portfolio of businesses that include Dooley Capital, Dooley Properties, the event venue Gathered Bentonville, and the media brand / podcast, The Real Mike Dooley. So guests, everybody, please welcome Mike and Cody Dooley. How are we doing?
Welcome. Good. Thanks for having us.
You guys did your research. Yeah. I actually learned some things. Kind of cool. Who are those people? You know? So,
if anyone wants to fact check, I went on thedooleygroup.com, and that's where I got all my facts.
There you go. I like it. No, it all sounds good. I like that you led with Cody. That was the right thing. You learned from the beginning. You did the right thing.
With a little help of ChatGPT and a website, man, you can get a lot done. So thank you.
For sure.
But how's everyone doing today? Cody, we'll start with you.
Great. Doing really, really well. It's been a busy day already. So
you said before we started recording, you had said something, and I have to say it. You know, for all the guys out there, tell me how much gas you have in your car.
I have a full tank now, but it was the closest I've ever come to running out of gas.
Oh,
I pulled in the gas station at 0 miles left, so that was cutting it really close.
There it is, the risk taker. I love it.
Yeah,
yes.
that was too close for comfort.
Burn
for
that
sure.
fuel pump.
Well, you're telling
that's
me
how
as
busy
a...
I've been. Though, so that's shows you something.
Well, you're telling me as a husband, I need to make sure I'm filling up her gas. Yes. I'm sleeping in that area. You know, so maybe Valentine's Day, I give her 24 promises of fill up gas, you know, where I make sure it's filled up for 24 times.
That's good. That's good. And Mike, you know, right before you came here, we had some tropical, Smoothie King. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
We'll see. We need sponsors for the show. We always do, right? Maybe Smoothie King, if they're listening, hey, give us Smoothie King for life, right?
There it is.
We like tropical smoothie too. You know, we don't discriminate. We like them both.
Yeah, they're both
good. Our
kids
love tropical smoothie too. So.
Well, one thing that I really like about Tropical Smoothie is they have the one size.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good size, not too big, not too small, and it's good. It's rightly priced.
So, talking about the smoothie, sure. right? Like
yeah.
it's one
yeah.
size all?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But you think about business, you know, obviously I wonder what their index is, a percentage of food versus smoothie. Mm-hmm. Smoothie King obviously is mostly just smoothies, where Tropical Smoothie is probably like a 70-30 mix. You know,
I see.
If you think
yes.
about it, they're probably indexing 30% smoothies, but mostly food is probably where they're making their revenue.
My fiance used to work at Tropical Smoothie for, I think, a year and a half, and she learned a lot about both, you know, the smoothies and the food. And I asked her, well, what are you selling more of? And she said, you know, sometimes people would come in and they'd kind of order everything, a smoothie and a sandwich, or sometimes I'd have to go and do a catering order of all these smoothies only, or vice versa. So I think 70-30 is probably a good mixture of assuming how the difference is.
Were you listening in on Cody and I's conversation? Because I always want to get a sandwich and a smoothie. And she's like, no, the smoothie's the meal.
Yeah.
So she's telling me I'm overeating or something, you know? I'm like, when they say, do you want a side? I'm like, yes. I want the smoothie, the sandwich, and the chips.
Whenever my fiance was working there, she would bring me a smoothie and everything, a sandwich and some chips. So, I wasn't against it. I was happy to have it all, right?
Well, all right, let's get into these rapid-fire questions, and it's going to be to both y'all. Who's the visionary and who's the executor?
Mike is the visionary. I'm the executor. That's easy.
All right.
I'm not saying I do it well, though, you know, so she does hers very well. She maybe does a little bit of both. So. No.
Let's see. What's one non-negotiable in your business? Kind of open-ended.
Non-negotiable.
Me, I would say, is people.
Okay.
We want a cultural fit. I think that's really, really important. Is in any of our businesses, we have to have a really good cultural fit. So one thing is you have to like kids. Any one of our companies, our own kids might be there. You know, it's a teacher work day, it's a holiday, and they'll be in our business. Mm. So we think kids, dog, family, that's really important to us. That's us at our core.
Yeah, I'd have to say people too.
Okay.
I mean, that's really why we get into this business is because you love people. Mm-hmm. Or anytime I meet with any new real estate agent that wants to be in real estate, I'm like, well, let me ask you something. Do you like people? Because this is a people business. And 100%. That's 100% why I even want to be in real estate, is to help people. So, yeah, having good people to work with is super important.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear all the time, we're not in real estate business. Like you said, we're in the people business.
People business.
We got to make sure we can... Yeah. You know, people like you and they want to work with you. And so absolutely.
That is
correct. Especially if you're going to be an entrepreneur and you're leaving a corporate job or leaving a W-2. And it's like, well, now you're choosing your own time. Why not choose the people you like and you're going to have fun with and you're going to enjoy? When you had a W-2 or you're a corporate, you can't choose the people. You're just put in the spot.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Next question. Hardest season you've had to push through?
Ooh, I feel like we're kind of in it right now, to be completely honest. Yeah. We have a 13 and a 9-year-old girls who are like super active, which is awesome and a blessing. And then we're really busy with real estate and all of the things. So I feel like we're really, really grinded in on both ends right now just to kind of keep up with life on all ends of the spectrum. So it's just really, I mean, I say it every season, busy, but it's like a different busy where you just like, I tell everybody right now, I'm barely rub 2 minutes together. You know, the saying of like rubbing two quarters together. I'm like, I'm trying to rub 2 minutes together. It's a great season to be in. So it's not negative. It's just like, man, we're just trying to like keep up. And the keeping up is really tough right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They say whatever you prayed for 5 years ago, you complain about today.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that, truth to that, too. We've been, you know, praying for this big business, this big life. But what comes with that, perfect example, our 13-year-old has to have surgery. So she's got an ACL tear. And the PT called me yesterday and they said, let me schedule some PT. Just so you know, you're not ready for an incremental meeting that you have to do 30 times. But if you say your family's most important, well, the other things have to go. So it's caused what Cody said. Tony Robbins calls this winter. This is winter for us. And it is kind of challenging right now. It's a blessing, but it also challenges us to be better business people. Do we need to be doing that one thing?
100%.
So dollar per hour activities, what does that look like for us? Are we the right person to be doing it? And Cody and I are both made this way. We want to be involved in everything. We want to do everything. We want it our way. But if you're building a bigger organization, you have to let the people do it. And I heard someone say this on a podcast, 10-80-10. So 10% in the beginning, you can be involved. 80, you let them do it. And then at 10, you can refine it. It's really a good way. And they talk about that and buy back your time, too.
That's good.
Just so you know, I drop like 7 books in there
because
I get a book every week mailed to us. And I want Cody to know I'm actually reading these books. So. You thought this was for our audience. This is actually for Cody.
Well, and I think one of the lessons that probably I'm hoping to get out of it is I'm not a very good delegator. And so it's really teaching me I cannot do it all. And so I've really been trying hard in this hard season to let people help. So we've got some... you know, great people on our team that are leaning in and helping us and getting the right people in the right spot. So I'm still crazy busy even with help, but I've really leaned into, you know what, I cannot do all of this by myself. I have to lean in on people, and they're willing and able to help me. So I'm going to let them rise to the occasion and feel accomplished in that too, and kind of succeed all together. So that it's hard in a good way, because it's going to push me to other areas that I probably wouldn't have pushed myself to.
Yeah. I guess something that I thought about right now is, for somebody out there who has their own business, whether it's real estate, you know, they're a blue collar worker or whatever, how important would you say delegation is in order to grow your business?
It's really important. It's really important. Like what we're experiencing right now is that like burnout. And so if you don't have the right people in place, which it takes a while to get there. It doesn't happen overnight. We've been Dooley Group for 10 years, and I still feel like we're kind of like still like making those kinks, or fixing those kinks and getting the right people. But I think it's like the number one most important thing is finding the right people for the right seat that you need them in, train them really well, and make sure you're kind of checking and balancing with them. That's one thing we've kind of learned, and we're still learning, is, you know, if you find the right person and you can trust that they're going to do a good job, it is super important in building a business.
Yeah, I've heard from many people, and I've seen from people that I personally know myself, that they want to do everything themselves. You know, oh, I like how I do things.
Yeah.
Which I understand to a point. And I understand that. I get it. You know, you want things to be done the way you know it, the way you've done it to where it works. But I think that for many people, I think that probably holds them back.
Yeah.
For sure. Our assistant is amazing. Michelle, she does a great job. And she goes, I'll just do it. And I actually slow her down sometimes, and I coach her and say, well, we have 1,000 people. You just can't just do it. So you need to figure out a system. You need to figure out a playbook. How do we do this? How do we delegate it? Or is it important? So sometimes she wants to move on to something. I'm saying, right now we're at Pavlov's law. So when you're in a winter season, you have to go, let's put a roof on our head. Let's get food. You have to prioritize. And sometimes I help her do that. For instance, she would be like, oh, we have to paint the side of the building. Well, is that important today, right now, when we have 700 clients that need help today? No, that's not. So helping prioritize, and I think that's important, is people always say, too, if it was easy, anybody would do it. And Cody and I talk about it all the time. In business, you know, it does take work. It does take challenge. And you have to elevate yourself every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's great, man. We're done.
All right. In the books.
Let's go. Here's a really good one. One piece of advice for someone building a team.
Find the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Find the right people, and know when they're not the right people, and coach them in a different direction sooner than later. If they're not the right fit, then find the right fit.
Okay.
We're not great at this, but hire slow and fire fast is, you know,
that's
really
about, basically what I'm trying to say. I was just trying to say it nicer.
Yeah, but I mean, I would just going to go a step further than saying, I think, too, if you're going to be in this business, what we plan to be forever, see if our kids or other family want to do this. We're building a legacy. Is think about 10 years from now and then work backwards. I think a lot of people think about 1 year. If you're building something great and big, you have to think about who's going to be with you in 5 years and 10 years. Do they have, is there a lid on that person? If there's a lid in year one, they're never going to be with me in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So can they take on 2 or 3 more roles? We're thinking about that for people. We don't do a great job. There is sometimes people that have to be in a season, to use your word earlier, to be for 1 year. They might move to a different company or a different position.
That's good. That's good. A little more personal. Who made the first move?
Mike.
Oh, cool. Well, I always tease our kids.
100% Mike. You got a whole story. You don't even want to know.
I definitely did, and it'll be on audio for our kids, but I always tease them. I had a charity event at Eddie Haskell's, which is Theo's and Roger's now, and she showed up to my event with a lot of her friends, and I was like, oh, she's following me.
Which she that's not even the beginning of the story.
And you guys will see from the audio, will so show how beautiful she is just through sound. So just so you know, I traded up big time.
I love it.
But to clear the record, it was Mike.
It was Mike. All righty. Good man, good man. Who's more competitive?
Ooh. We're both very competitive.
Yeah, I think we're both pretty competitive.
I don't know. I think it depends on what it is. Yeah. Board games, Cody might jump over the board game and strangle me, though. She is definitely a board game nut. Her whole family is.
I think it depends on what it is. Okay. If it's like something I think I should win, I'm going to be really competitive. If it's something like sports where I'm like, I'm not going to succeed at that, like I won't care that much about like...
You know your battle, but you'll go 100%.
Like, if I'm so competitive, but I'm like, okay, well, I'm not the fastest runner, so I'm not probably going to win this game. So I probably wouldn't be super competitive at that. But if it's like a board game or In business, I'm pretty competitive too, with myself, I would say. So I'm always kind of competing against myself every year and just, yeah, have that drive in myself. But yeah, I think we're both pretty competitive, but I definitely pick my battles of what I choose to be competitive in, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Just like when we do a bet, I'm usually 100% certain I'm going to win. So if I do the bet, I'm doing the bet and I know I'm going to win. I have not lost many bets to Cody.
That's true. I've stopped betting anymore.
Oh, man.
That's not fun.
Who cools off faster after a disagreement?
Mike.
Definitely me, yeah.
Okay.
Is that, I don't know, is that like a universal thing? Is it usually the men who are more calm? I would say, for me,
it'd be Maritza.
Maritza is a little more calm.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'll dwell on things for, like, months.
I'll dwell on it for a bit. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm still in trouble for things from 17 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. I always say I'll forgive, but I won't forget.
I'm right with you. But you and Emily.
I think she'd probably say different, but I think she dwells on it a little bit longer.
Okay.
After disagreements.
Okay.
You know, I try and be silly and try and make her laugh. She gets annoyed or more. Yep. So I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me just walk away now. That is hilarious. What's one thing you both have learned working with your spouse?
Shockingly, we are still working together. I think everybody's placed bets on us of how long this is going to last. Because it's interesting if you take like personality tests or the Enneagram, like Mike and I actually are the same like personality type in some ways, but like super different in a lot of ways. So I think there are things that when we are similar on things, like we both have a lot of drive, a lot of passion, and a lot of determination. But then Mike has that vision and then I have the execution. So I think in the things that we differ, like we balance each other really well, where he can be like thinking of 1,000 ideas. And I'm like, no. And this is why, not because it's no. It's like, no, because that's not important right now. Table that for like next year. That's a great idea. But I have to keep him grounded. So I think that's kind of my innate role is like to keep him really grounded because he can go really high in the sky and dreamer. And I got to like bring him back down to earth. So it's funny because I think that's just like subconsciously and innately like who we are and just like our roles in life and partnership. And we get complimented, or I do. I get complimented all the time for being like a really true balance to Mike. I don't know if that's positive or negative. I think that's pretty positive because, like I said, he can be really up there in the clouds. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to like take that away from you, but like, let's bring it down just a little bit. Otherwise, this guy would go like, I don't even know what he would do without me balancing him out. So I think that's a good thing about our partnership is that we have a lot of similarities in like our wants and desires, but then the differences like balance each other out.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of your audience maybe is working with you in business and real estate. Or, you know, one thing I would say, we've been on many listing appointments, and I would challenge anyone listening as partners or business people, we don't always agree. And I tell people all the time, I actually love that. That means we're both passionate about giving a client the best idea possible versus just going, okay, whatever she said is great and awesome. We actually make the idea usually better by not agreeing, and then we bring our two ideas together and go, okay, this is a better idea because we didn't necessarily agree in the strategy or the vision, and kind of sometimes that happens. But I think you said your mom said this before we got married. She said we were a lot alike and there was going to be passion and fights and arguments sometimes. And there is some of that. But I think a lot of it is just being, I would say at the core, both of us want to be great to people, to all people, you know. And hopefully our kids are that way and we see that. I think that is important to us, even though we want to be really strong in business and be great business people. And that actually is a negative. If anyone listening wants to be a business person, sometimes we're too nice. And I think that's something for someone to think about, too, is how do we balance that? So we do talk through, well, how nice are we being? How is this going to affect us? What should we do? And go deeper. But usually we go to bed at night and saying, we did the right thing. And I think that's important, where sometimes a strong business person would go, I made the right business decision. We actually go, we did the right thing, which is what we prefer and prefer having on our business.
Wow. I can sense that already from the very little time I know you guys. I feel like that is true. All right. What's your go-to coffee order?
If I go out, it is a vanilla hot vanilla latte.
Okay.
Yep. This mine's a hot mocha from every place, you know, Starbucks, yeah. You name it. But yeah. We actually drink the same thing from home usually.
Yeah.
We Pike's Starbucks. We buy those from the cases at at Sam's
with
Club.
A little bit of vanilla cream.
Yep. And we use Keurig, and we've done that together. I guess both of us, we've been married 15 years, and we've done that for 16, 17 years. So
it is funny though. Mike just got in trouble like over the like Christmas. He like Uber-eated some Starbucks because the girls were having friends over, and he was like trying to be a cool dad and Uber-eated some Starbucks, and he got me like this frou-frou, nothing I would have ever drank, and I'm like literally my go-to coffee is the same thing every time I've been anywhere ever, and I literally looked at him, I was like, what did you, and he's like, well, I didn't know, it sounded good, and I was like, and even the girls were like, Dad, Mom gets a vanilla latte hot every time we go anywhere. Like,
well, in my defense,
he was trying to do something really nice, and I was like,
I want to hear the thought.
I was like, what? I didn't even drink it. It was terrible. I've drank the same thing at every coffee place my entire life, and you get me. What is this that you got me?
I want to hear what Mike says. Yes.
I know what she likes to eat at like 100,000 places. I know her likes. This was like at 3 in the afternoon. So I was thinking, maybe I'm going to change it up. She doesn't want hot. She wants to have ice. And the kids were getting all these frou-frou stuff. Uh-huh. And I was also trying to be cool and just say, maybe I'll get Mom something frou-frou and different and cool, you know? Uh-huh. But also the kids know, they just went to me and said, hey, Dad, will you Uber Eats this? They probably didn't even go to Mom. And I said, yes. And I did it, you know?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a fail.
I've had some fails recently. And that's and I'm okay saying that. I'm mad enough to say, hey, I failed. But
I should say it was a thought that counted. But in that case, I was like, were you really thinking of me? Like, don't you know me at all?
You can't win if you don't fail.
Exactly.
Right? So there you go. Yeah.
Allie definitely knows, don't deviate from the vanilla hot latte.
That sounds like hilarious. A lot, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that was a lesson learned on that one.
He always says it's about progress, not perfection. Yeah. So I like that a lot, too. And I use that daily, any of the listeners, because I think sometimes we're always striving for perfection. And it doesn't always occur because perfection changes and changes throughout the day or where you're going. So I just said, hey, I made progress today. I got 1% better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Dream vacation spot for the both of y'all.
Oof. Well, we really want to go. We were wanting to go to Italy this summer, but I pivoted to next summer. Just the summer got like really, really crazy busy. And I got busy, so I couldn't plan it.
Okay.
So we are planning on going to Italy. It's on our bucket list.
That's cool.
So that is going to be next summer. Super excited about that. And then really anywhere on the beach. Yep. We're beach people, so we plan a beach vacation every year.
Have we been to Italy before?
We have been to Italy before, but we haven't taken the girls. So we're planning on taking the girls and kind of like slowing it down a little bit in Italy. So the times we've been, actually Mike and been there together on our honeymoon, but it was a cruise. And so you were like really like rapid fire seeing all the places. So we were like, well, we want to go back and like slow down and really enjoy the different areas. So we're going to slow down and enjoy it.
Yep. Santorini, Greece was another favorite spot for us too. We really love that, and that was beautiful.
How long do you have on a cruise when they port there? Is it like an hour?
It was like a 10-day cruise. And so we flew into Barcelona, out of Barcelona, but then we like stayed an extra day like touring Barcelona. But yeah, I think it was like a 10 or 11 day cruise.
Nice.
You kind of like stop off, and then you have some sea days, and then you stop off and you get to see all different parts. So we got to see, I think, like 4 countries on that trip. It was a Mediterranean cruise.
Yeah, it was awesome. Nice. Yeah. We like it because you don't need to drink. You wake up in the morning and you're in a new place.
You don't have to worry about food or like lodging. Teleportation. It's like super easy.
Yeah, I've got a client who he swears like he loves going on vacations like by cruise. He's a big believer.
Cruises are cool.
If you want to see different places and you don't feel like you have to like explore them for a few days, we did another British Isles cruise with Disney a few years ago, and that was awesome because you got like little tastes of things, and then it's like, well, do you want to go back and spend more time, or was that good? And I was like, that felt good. I checked that off my list.
Yeah, that was Ireland, Scotland, England. That was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we're kind of cruise people, and we want to go see different places.
Very nice. All righty, and then here's the last rapid fire question: who's more likely to impulse buy something random?
Oh my, 1,000. Mike, oh my god! Can I tell you about his latest impulse buy?
Yes, please,
yes, let us know.
He likes to do like no day or surprise gifts. And again, I need to focus on the thought that counts. But he buys those salad They're like the mason jar salad containers that you put the you make a salad, you put it in the mason jar, you put the little dressing and you shake it, and then you like pop it off and you can eat out of the jar.
Yeah.
He's so excited to give me this, and I'm like, cool. This is awesome.
It's plastic. You know, it's
like still so excited about this.
There you go.
I'm just,
you put the dressing
so
goes right in the lid. It's awesome. It's all
it's like basically off of the, like, I feel like he's watching a infomercial. I was like, you got sucker. And he not only bought one, he bought two.
Yes. Just in case one's dirty. I don't want my bride to be hungry. You know?
I was like, it was so random.
You're thinking outside the box, Mike.
Oh, he buys random stuff. I feel like all the time. Well, it was on sale. It was only $7. And we got like a $5,007.
Well, I appreciate a good invention, you know, being an inventor, and I appreciate a good sales pitch or a good marketing pitch. So I'm always, as that person, I want to compliment them, you know?
Yeah.
I want to try their product or use their product. Now, just recently, Cody doesn't know this yet, I'm coming out on this, right?
The
TikTok shop. Oh, my God. I realized how easy it was. So I bought two or three things from the TikTok shop recently. I was always like, do they have my information? Do they have my card and all that stuff? And it's like, you click the button and it goes right to your Apple Pay, and it's like, boom, in like 7 hours, it's on your doorstep. Wow. So I just see why people get all behind the TikTok shop. You know?
We got to throw the easy sign on the TikTok shop.
Yes, we do.
I do have to tell you, I did bring my lunch in that salad jar today just to make my cash.
Video of that. That needs to be on the
We need to tell everybody.
I'm going to tell everybody in the office. I'm like, I'm using my salad container.
Oh, that is hilarious.
That's a great question.
Man, that was a good time. I'll be honest. That was really good. You guys are funny, and I love it. But thank you for joining us again. And I really want to say this on the air. Cody, you are so kind for really allowing us to take this time and getting Mike in here too. Folks, for the audience, I think I texted you on Monday and just said, hey, if you're open to this, I'd love to, we'd love to have you on the podcast. And 3 days later, here we are. Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, it means a lot to us. So thank you.
Well,
thank
we're
you.
Happy to be here. Oh, we're man. Happy to be considered to be on here.
Well, I love what you said, though, and I tell our audience or anyone is just ask. I think a lot of times people don't ask for it, you know.
Oh,
Cody knows. I've emailed Gary Keller. I email people all the time that are famous. They actually do not get asked a lot. We always think they get bombarded with emails or, you know, asked to speak or do things. They actually don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of times just, you know, ask for what you want.
And you came to the right person because I executed it.
Yeah. That's so good.
Don't ask Mike. You got to ask me, and I'll
fair
make
enough.
It happen.
That is
actually,
fair enough.
Everybody usually, if they try to get Mike, they're like, I know who really to go to, and they'll come to me.
I did say this. It was either together or separate, because I think both of you have great stories, right? Yeah. And I think you guys – so I was – whichever was easier for y'all, you know, but, and I'll even do it. We'll have to even do a part two, you know, down the line,
because
this is too fun. But folks, let's get into the main discussion here. Tell us, you know, and it'll go to both y'all. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you guys got here today.
Yeah,
I know. It's
So I was, born and raised in Rogers, Arkansas. So I'm a native, and went to the University of Arkansas, and just really love it here. So my whole family is here. Actually, I've got a brother and sister. They're also local. My mom and dad are still here. So the birds did not fly too far from the nest.
They picked a good spot.
Honestly, if you had told me in high school what this area would have looked like today, I wouldn't have believed it. It is entirely different than the Rogers or the Northwest Arkansas that I grew up with. So it's been really awesome to see the growth and the culture and just, you know, everything that has been brought here. It's just really incredible to see that growth. And then a mom of the two girls I mentioned earlier, Evelyn and Sinclair, 13 and 9. So obviously that's a big part of who I am, is my children and obviously Mike. And then how I ended up in real estate. So I did a handful of jobs before that I loved. Actually, I focused mostly on my career in shopper marketing for CPG companies for Walmart. So I was in the ad agency industry for quite some time before I switched over to CPG. And honestly, I really loved my jobs. I worked, again, with great people. That always made my jobs fun, and still friends with a lot of them today. And Mike, you know, he'll tell his story, but he got into real estate, and I was like, what in the world? Just so random. And he'll tell you his story in a second. When I had my oldest daughter, I was really struggling with balance as a working mom. And so he had actually met with a local real estate agent, because Michael was like, what about real estate? You'd be really good at that. And I'm like, I don't know. And so we had him come in and did this whole presentation about what it was like to be a real estate agent. And I was like, yeah, I can't do that with small children. No way. And I really like checked out of it. I was like, no, that doesn't sound really feasible. And Mike's ears perked up, and he's like,
that sounds great for me.
This is interesting. And that kind of was a couple of years prior to ever making the move, but that kind of did put the thought in his head. But anyway, so Mike got into the real estate first, and I had my second child, and again, kind of struggling with this whole, now I have two kids and a working mom. And Mike and I sit down every year and have like yearly goal planning of like what trips we want to go on, what do we see for ourselves in the next year, like what are we working towards, what do we want, what were we happy with in the previous year, and kind of just goal set every year.
Well, not to interrupt, we really it's a no list for Cody. I tell her all the 100 things I want to do.
That no list.
And I'm usually able to keep a couple of them. You know? And usually it's like the 1 week trip. To the beach trip in Florida, that's the one I can keep, you know? So I was like, I want the pilot's license. My dad was a pilot, and she goes, we're never going to ride with you ever. Yeah, we love you. You know, you're a great driver and all that stuff. So that's not on the list anymore. So it's 100 things that I put in front of her. It's her 99 no list.
Yeah.
You know, so we rename it every
year. We actually usually end up in a heavy debate. After this is not a fun meeting. It's usually, like what he just said, it's usually like, what can I do or not do? So that's part's true. But anyway, we sit down, and he's like, when we first got married, he's like, oh, you know, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, or so I thought. And he's like, well, let's build to that or whatever. Or why don't you just get your real estate license and you can just focus on listings and you don't even have to show and this will be perfect. I still to this day don't know how he convinced me. Still to this day. And we had this and I'm like, well, maybe. And of course, at this time, I really hadn't thought of it. But I'll just end it with it. It was a God thing at the end of the day. We needed a kind of a savings account, and an opportunity came up where I got that savings account, and I took it and just took a huge leap of faith. I mean, to have two people in full commission with no help, you know, all the things just kind of like disappear and you're all on your own, you know, two of us on our own. There's no like fail safe. It's like, okay, we're both jumping in with our something in first. It was a huge leap of faith looking back. I'm like, golly, how did he convince me to do this? So I had my little Sinclair. She was 2 years old, and I'd already cut her down to only 2 days of daycare a week because that was my focus. I was like, I wanted to, you know, primarily focus on being a mom, and the real estate gig was like icing on the cake. I was home for 1 week. I called my mom crying. I'm like, what have I done? I'm bored to death. And I cannot be a stay-at-home mom. Literally 1 week. And my mom, I'll never forget this. My mom was like, I thought it would take you longer, 1 week. And she was like, I was waiting on how long it would take you to get there, like in my mind. And I was like, okay. So from that point on, I just dove straight into real estate, figured out a way. I wasn't going, my kind of non-negotiable at that time was like, I'm still not going to take away those days with my daughter. So at that point in time, if somebody wanted to see a house, I was like, if you want to see it on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I got to bring Sinclair. And nobody ever had a problem with it. And in fact, I remember one time I was showing a property and another agent was going to be there. I was really kind of embarrassed. I had my little 2-year-old with me. My clients didn't care, but I was actually kind of embarrassed about the other agent. So I call him and I'm new. I don't know. And I call the agent, and he's been a real estate agent. He still is. But I'll never forget this. And I was like, I'm so sorry. My 2-year-old's going to be there. I hope that's okay. And, you know, I don't know. I think he could tell I was embarrassed about it. And he was like, let me tell you something, Cody. He's like, if anybody doesn't want to work with you because you're bringing your kid, because that's what you have to do business, you don't want to work with them anyway. And that stuck with me to this day. I tell people that story of like, yeah, you just have to do. And if people have a problem, and Mike said it earlier about families first, if they have a problem with it, it's their problem. So I always joke. I'm like, man, the amount of homes that Sinclair had seen those early days. I mean, I just took her everywhere, and she was the best kid. Everybody loved her. She was like my little mascot. And it's just kind of my personality. I'm a driver personality. So I just kind of figured it out. And let God take it from there.
I love that.
Yeah.
This, does she have her license now?
They joke. Both of the girls joke. They're like, heck no, we're not doing real estate. Yeah. But actually, the other day, Sinclair was like, well, maybe I'll think about
I have a photo of you.
Yeah.
I have a photo of you at a listing.
Yeah, I know.
You've been in the business since
I mean,
you were
there
two.
Are pictures. Like, she's in the, like, closing pictures. And I'm just like, oh, my God, she was two. Do you know how little two is? Mm-hmm. It's so little. And I just like look back. I'm like, God, how the heck did I do that? But anyway,
that's a big marketable skill right there in real estate since 2 years old.
Come on, there you go. Yeah,
sure. Yeah, both of them have.
Oh, she loves to tell a quick story. It was a COVID era, and I was video, you know, FaceTiming with an agent or with a client. They were moving here, and I had Sinclair with me at that showing, and I was like FaceTiming them, and I was like looking at my paper, and I was like, gosh, it says there's four bedrooms, but I'd only found three. And she's like, Mom, I think it's up those other stairs. And I was like, what other stairs? So she always bragged. She's like, remember that one time I found that room for you?
She's trying to get a commissioner.
She's a little bit older at that point, but you have to think, I had her with me 3 days a week from 2 years old until she started kindergarten at six. Uh-huh. So that's a long time of having a little child in tow. And I did it full time. Really from my second year of real estate on, I've done over 60 to 80 transactions a year. And like half of the time I've been in real estate, I had a child with me doing that business. So I always am like, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Start bringing my son. He's 6 months right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try to start joining me.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean,
maybe it's a good luck charm, right?
Yeah. I think so too. I have my fiance. She's got an uncle, and he tells me, we're engaged, so they ask the typical, when are you getting married, and then when are the kids coming? And then I tell him, oh, I'm not sure. He's like, no, but if you have a kid, he's going to bring the good luck bread right here under his arm, and he pats his armpit and his ribs, kind of saying like, it's good luck, right?
For sure.
Well, I think it makes you kind of like human and relatable because most people, not everybody, but most people have either had kids or their grandparents or what have you. So, and there's a female in the mix too. She's like, oh, I get it. Like, you just got to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And luckily in real estate, it's not a profession where, you can't get away with that. Like, you can, as long as, everybody's okay with it and you're upfront about it.
Very true.
Anyway, that's kind of my short version.
Mike.
Oh, such a good version. I've actually never been in a podcast where I've heard some of the version. I know it. So now I can fill in some of the gaps, either good or bad. One thing is when we said, hey, get into it, we said sell 12, one a month, And if you fast forward, I'm so proud of her. I'm saying a podcast again, she's doing 70 to 80 a year. So think about that with a kid, how crazy that is, $40 million a year in volume. So I'm super proud of her. But one of the things you said too is people jump in and they look at real estate as a commission only role. We actually flip it on its head, and you can actually create this like a career. So if you want to make $300,000, $400,000, $150,000, whatever it is, you can reverse engineer. How many deals do you need to do? Here's our average commission. How many people do you need to talk to? So it's actually not a commission-only role. I know what I know today. Mm-hmm. Now, in the beginning, we both started. It was like, oh, it's scary. But we both realized we want to bet on ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think that was a lot of it. As I started going through corporate America, her and I realized I was at the top of a lot of different companies. So I was basically just got to jump from company to company to company if we wanted to remain and live here. Mm-hmm. So that's when I basically heard a podcast or book that said the top 1%, 24% of their portfolio is in real estate. And her dad is a builder. And I obviously approached him too and said, maybe we build some spec houses. And he was interested in it too. And I think it was actually a good or bad thing for sure, probably. We would have been going two different speeds sometime. He's so amazing and he's the boss. So there would have been probably conflicts, but he's just so awesome and good at what he does. He built our house, but started, as a single agent, started, a team. Now, a lot of this in the beginning was dual careered. Cody was all right, not all right with me leaving cold turkey. So anyone listening too, I think it is helpful sometimes to go through, get a few transactions under your belt. So basically it was like July, I did 7 transactions. She goes, we decided together, okay, let our daughter be healthy. She was born healthy. You did 7 transactions. You're good to go because that made the revenue to make that make sense. Mm-hmm. So it's around August 1st. It was like, okay, it's go time. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when we started the dual group piece. So
wow.
Powerful. Powerful story, I think. I think it just goes to show that, no matter where you're at or what position you want to get somewhere, as long as you put your mind to it and you do the right things to get you in that direction, you're going to get there. Because look at you guys now, combined nearly 20 years experience, 10 years later. Mm-hmm. You guys have the top group in Keller Williams Market Pro Realty. I mean, it really goes to show you that anything is really possible.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, in the beginning, we actually did pay attention to the rankings and the number one, maybe someone listening. We're less doing that today, which is kind of interesting if you really look at it. We're less saying in our marketing or everything that we're doing, you know, it's like saying, hey, we're number one team. We're actually talking about the longevity. So, for instance, I posted something on our Keller Williams page, and it's like 40 individuals are still in business with me that started at Keller Williams that have been there over 10 years. So how do you pour into people's lives? We're thinking about that. I think about Mick and Kayla and these people that have been with us day one have dramatically changed their life. Mick has 3 investment properties. So here he went from corporate America. Now he's investing in himself, and now he's taught a legacy to his kids. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking about, how do I buy an apartment, have an Airbnb? So it's a mindset, too, that no one could ever take away, and it's not necessarily always about money. And that's something we think about. Now you do need money to be able to accomplish some of the goals that you need to. So what's the good that it can do for you? So mm-hmm. how do you create that legacy? Mm. Her and I do not want to go at this pace at 60, 70, 80, you know? Now, Cody always says she might be like some of the great agents like Maisa Harris and so Patsy Simmons and stuff.
Every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, no, I do want to be the next Maisa Harris. And then some days I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want to be doing this in my 80s.
But you said this earlier that you've loved your jobs and you love it. You truly do love it.
Yeah.
I think that's important, too, is anyone doing this, you do have to enjoy it. Now, I don't think you're going to enjoy your job 100% all the time. There's stuff that happens in business, but for the most part, 80% or more, if you love it. Now, here's what I love about real estate. You can create the pieces that you love. You can be, you talked about earlier, you can be in property management. You can be in, you know, wealth advising part. You can be in commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. You can really pivot to so many things, and that's what I love about real estate. That maybe has helped me, and Cody knows, I do get where I'm like antsy, and I want to go to the next thing. Well, real estate allows me to do that, where I can still be at my same organization or company, but pivot to something else. Where other jobs, I was like, yeah, it's not really working for me. You know, 18 months, 24 months, I'd get bored or I'd hit a ceiling. You can never hit a ceiling really in real estate, because you can go on to something else or do something bigger or build something bigger. So I think that's the part that I love about it.
Wow. Yeah, I think it does create a lot of opportunities. You know, I've met a lot of people that I probably would have never met or talked to. Since I got in real estate, I've helped people with, you know, likely the biggest investment that they're going to make in their life. And that feeling is just absolutely wonderful. And I'm sure Juan Carlos can probably attest to that.
Yeah. You know, talking about real estate, and I've been doing it for a little over 2 years now, I feel like it's unlocked a part of me, almost, I kind of want to say the fearless part of just diving into that next thing. And a good example, I've said this to Enrique, is that's how this podcast started. You know, was just because of real estate, thinking of one thing, it allowed me to kind of let go of that fear and then just start being like doing this, but also into family, into, you know, business and things like that. Mm-hmm. But 2 years ago, I can't even imagine sitting here in this room with you guys 2 years ago. And even right now, as you guys are talking, I forget that I'm actually we're hosting, because I can just sit here and listen all day. Yeah. It happens to me all the time. I'm just like, oh crap, I need to say something.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just the knowledge that you guys bring and willing to share with us and our listeners. I mean, it's truly valuable, and you can learn so many things.
I don't know how true this is, but, you know, when I think of this area, I just said this to Enrique, but 10 minutes before you came, Cody, I said, you know, I was like, dude, I didn't even know who the Dooleys were a month ago, right? Prior to being here, I said, I've heard the name, but at the same time, I didn't know a face or who. And now I can say, wow, like, I just feel like they're just really good people, right? Yeah. And I'm just happy to just even spend some time with them. And I know how busy you all can be, especially in this field, but just even being in the same building is just learning and just seeing you guys work really is motivating in that sense too. Okay. But there's also the family piece to it that I think I'm not aware of until now, but even that's also very motivating and very, very impactful in my opinion.
Hopefully you're going to get into it, how we met too, or just interact. You know, I think I remember we were across from the table and you had met me for the first time, basically live. And you guys joined our brokerage.
That was the first time.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is your show, but hopefully you would talk about it too. I actually was just talking to someone earlier that also joined our brokerage. They brought a large team over. Hopefully we're producing everything we said we would. No ceiling, all the opportunities.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think that's just something important, is that we want to be true to our word. And I think that's Cody and I all the time too. And now we fail all the time. She reminded me this morning I failed like 7 times before I woke up, probably, you know. But I think, too, I think that's, you talked about it. There is success. But Cody and I, for the most part, is like, okay, we failed. Brush yourself off. Who do we need? Mm-hmm. What do we need? And just getting better. You might take 2 steps backwards sometimes, but we still, it's like, okay, now we're going to do 4 steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like? Now yes. Your brain, I think, is the most powerful thing. A lot of times what Cody was talking about before is you don't think you can. Or you didn't know anybody that can. So whatever you grew up, you know, if you think about this location, did you ever think the biggest Ruth Chris in the world would be in Northwest Arkansas, you know?
Yes.
Probably not.
Yes, yes.
So it's having your brain allow yourself to go, I can do that. It can be done, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think a good point that you bring up is you don't know what you don't know, right? I mean, I grew up with not knowing real estate at all, right? You know, my father knew construction. He had a drywall company, and he did what he could to teach me and my siblings what we could. And I, thankful to him, I had the opportunity to kind of figure things out and learn what I can in this business. And so I'm grateful to be surrounded by folks who can show us the ropes and kind of help us figure out what our parents couldn't, right? And there's not any fault of their own at all, right? You don't know, you don't know.
Well, he's going to go to you later. What do you do for work? You're like, I recorded a podcast. And, you know, that's work? Who would ever thought, you know, our parents, you know,
think about it.
Like, all we did is sit around. It's like we almost need our cocktails or our tequila, right? We just hung out, had drinks, and partied, you know?
He's going to tell me, you need to be mudding the walls, son.
It is different now. Work, though, like, you know, when I talk to my parents about what you do for work today, it's much different than what it was 10, 15 years ago, or at their time, right? You have all these influencers and social media, and you know, we're doing real estate, but what does real estate look like? It's relationships and getting to know people, and you want to be reliable and knowledgeable, and where can you meet me and things like that. You just our parents, you know. It wasn't that way back in the day.
I mean, especially now, I mean, you have access to so many strong technologies that can, like, launch you forward. Like, but literally your phone is one of the most powerful tools you can use. And, like, people are just using their phones and they're, you know, doing a great career for themselves. It's incredible what you can do with technology nowadays.
Well, hopefully you guys are going to use AI and make me sound like Tony Robbins or something.
We're going to edit a clip of you sitting there with Tony Robbins and everything.
Oh, man. That is hilarious.
Let's go with that one. I was afraid this was going to be a fight later. Cody, so far you're doing good. We're still good. You know, we still might have dinner.
It's going to be like those old cartoons where it's like the great cloud and just the fist kind of flying around.
You never know. Keep
the softballs going.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So, Cody and Mike, what are you guys focused on right now, and what's exciting you at this stage in y'all's career?
Yeah, I think we're really focusing. I mean, me personally, I'm always focusing on residential real estate, luxury market, and really developments and developers. That's kind of a passion of mine. Like Mike said, my dad was a custom home builder, and I've always been around like the, you know, new construction my whole entire life. And so I'm really familiar with those processes, and I've worked with a lot of builders, and, you know, I just love that process. Love getting people in those new homes and walking them through that. So I would say on the real estate side, those are kind of my focuses. But really, honestly, I just like to work with anybody. Like if you're a good person and you want to find your first investment property or your first time home buyer, I honestly love the first time home buyers, or even the downsizer, like the older couples that are like downsizing. I mean, I really have a passion for just like all those walks of life and all those stages. Just anybody that's wanting to move here, I love telling the story of Northwest Arkansas and why you should love to move here. But ultimately, if you come to me and you want to buy, sell, invest, develop, I am going to say yes, let's do it, and how best to do it, and try to have a great time doing it. But business-wise, I think we're focused really on getting our systems and processes and people in place. We've been really honing in on that, I would say, the last, like, 9-12 months. It's taken a while, but it was funny. We were talking to our assistant Michelle. She's like, I feel like you're so close. I'm like, I'm feeling it. Sometimes it feels like Groundhog's Day. But I was like, it's getting closer. I think Mike and I would say we finally feel like we have the right people in the right spot. That's the hardest part. The problem is we fall in love with our people, but sometimes they're not the right fit for the role, or they're not the right person, but we like them. And so it's like, we'll hold on to somebody that's not maybe like accelerating our business or our companies or even themselves, but we find ourselves like in this weird, like, mom and dad position where we're like want to protect them, but it's like not helping us. Mm-hmm. And so then we get in that cycle of like, well, how long can we like go on and do this with this person if it's not like the right fit for them or us? Mm-hmm. So we're kind of getting out of our own ways on that.
Yeah. And if your audience is listening, we use the book Traction, which is the EOS process. So Entrepreneur Operating System. As you know, perfect example, they usually said it was for me because I come up with 10 ideas a day. I would text our whole leadership team or text our whole team. We're going to do this now. We're going to all wear green shirts, you know. It's like, oh, no, red tomorrow, you know. So it actually
he does a lot of squirreling, squirrel.
So EOS has really helped us. We do a L10 meeting on Tuesday. It's 90 minutes. And it has some good framework. So ideas are reviewed and happen then. Versus all throughout the week, so you can really work on your business. I would say, too, to your first question or your second question, how do we work together? For the most part, too, we work together some, but we work on different things. Mm-hmm. And I think also as a couple, we're not all day, every day on things. I'm a really good lead generation, really good at relationships. Cody's very good at relationships also. But I'm able to really make first contact really fast and really easy and be able to serve that to our organization. That's a strength of mine. But I would say I'm really focused on, if you look at all my roles, I'm a regional leader for Keller Williams, and that's 26 offices, which we call market centers, and 6,000 agents. So we need to be moving them in the right direction. A lot of that is in growth, so bringing independence and bringing agents to our organization. So for me, it's really about being a thought leader, relationships, building relationships, and getting smarter myself to be able to provide that intellect to those people and getting into real estate. I did a podcast yesterday where someone was on my show, and he used the word grit, and I really love that word. I think that's really
word
something.
I have up on my desk right now.
It's very good. I think anyone listening needs to know that no matter what industry you're in or what you're doing, sometimes in different seasons, you talked about seasons, and Tony Robbins talks about that, is you have to have a little bit more grit. And I think if I think about our success for Cody and I, we can go that extra year where some people might give up. You know, we don't let hard things take us down. We just power through it more. But I think if you look at our people, what happens is if someone doesn't have grit, that's where you usually lose faith in them. And we're just like, no, they don't have the extra gear. They don't want to go where we want to go. They want to be safe.
Right.
And I think that's traditionally a W-2 employee, not someone that has to make it happen for themselves. And us both being like, we got to do it or it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. We have kids and family and people relying on us. So that's why we have grit. I think that's why we've been successful sometimes, too, because real estate, not going to lie to you, for the last 2 or 3 years has been tough. Less units, you know, traditionally there's been 6 million transactions. Now there's like 4.1. So 2 million transactions came out of the marketplace. Well, that's less people to get those. So we have to have more grit to be able to still accomplish our goals.
Right. You got to find your way to get pushed in there and find your market share to kind of fall behind. And like you said, the word grit is, I think, a great way to describe how you have to move forward in these difficult times.
Power through. Mm-hmm.
If you're down on your luck and you're going through a hard time, take the time to recognize it. Don't ignore it, of course, but then don't stay down there. You gotta bounce back up and get out of that hole and grow.
We said 2 steps back but 4 steps forward. I think as we said.
Well, I said this on Tuesday to our whole team. I said if we're a tribe and you're in our tribe, also if you're down one day, maybe you're trying to make 10 contacts in a day, you only done 2. Well, ask somebody else. This is what I love about this business and our company. You can lean on someone else and say, hey, I'm struggling a little bit today. What can you do? Can you give me a little advice? Can you hang out with me? And I think that's what I love about this. I think corporate America sometimes would help people, but in a different way. They have their own job to do. Ours is that people business is also with someone, another realtor, another business person. It's like, hey, here's another way to do this.
You guys have said some really great things. And like I said, even before we started recording, you'll be surprised how fast we have recorded. Sure. We're at,
I think, 54.
Yeah, 55 minutes.
It has gone by, yeah.
Yeah. No, and you know, as we'll kind of wrap up a little bit and kind of move on to the next segment real quick, because, you know, we think Northwest Arkansas is our great area. We all love it here. But before we move on to talking about Northwest Arkansas, we love giving shout outs to our people, right? Mike and Cody, who is there someone, a team, a person, an organization you'd love to give a quick shout out to, and who would that be?
Oh, gosh.
I'm starting to say my bride. I'll say Cody, you know, and not political. I just think, you know, a lot of people see her success, but they don't see, we talk about the iceberg, everything she's doing all day. She'll be up at midnight, 1 o'clock, that passionate about helping a client. And I think some people, too, would be like, ah, it's past 9 o'clock. If it's something she needs to, like, do whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I've seen her many times on Saturday and Sunday with cleaning stuff in her car. I'm like, where are you going? She's like, well, I bought a house, and the people that moved out left it dirty and trash and left stuff. She's getting her hands dirty. So back to grit. She has great grit. But I think we have amazing people in our life. Our family is phenomenal. You know, my family, her family, all our family. Also coaches. We have Jim. We have other people that are leaning into us all the time, from Smokey to Gene Rivers to one thing that I love about Keller Williams is that there is, here's how I did it. Here's how you can do it. You know what I'm saying? People are so giving.
Yes.
Like all four of us just hanging out and just giving to the audience, and your audience is giving. And I think that's what we love about this organization and people is that never ask one Keller Williams person. And I'd say for the most part, even real estate in general, how do you do that? How would you do that? They never go, I can't tell you that, or get back to me in 4 days. They're like, here's how I did it. Here's my playbook. Here's step by step. And let's set up coffee in an hour, you know, and let me help you do that.
Yes.
And I think it takes a tribe, and I say it a lot. Another good book, if you want to plug, Tribe of Millionaires. I love that. It's really just a concept. So, as you know, I'm plugging away to let Cody know these books actually are going
to. I think my plugs are, you know, it does take not just me, but like a whole team to make me look good. And so we've got great title companies and lenders and photographer that we've had for 10 years. He's amazing. And just, you know, our trades that we work, our inspectors. Actually, I'll give a shout out to Rob Castor, my surveyor. I don't know how many times that guy has bailed me out of some trouble of timing and getting me squeezed in. I was like, Jose, like, yes. So I'll give him a big shout out because he's come to my rescue the last couple of weeks with some doozies. But like, you know, you don't even think about that surveyor or perk guy, Wayne. So we work with a lot of people in the back end that people don't even realize. I always tell people who work with me, I'm like a Rolodex. Like what else do you need?
Yes.
I got it.
Yes.
And I really take pride in those trades. Our roofer, Evan. So just like, we just have so many people that I really value as partners in real estate that have led me to be successful too. Because without their partnership to help and lean in where my clients might need them, that always makes me look good.
I love that you said that. I just, you know, maybe I always say it takes 199 tasks to close a real estate transaction.
Actually, Allison RTC.
Yes.
She is amazing. That is the biggest shout out I can give.
Ramel TC.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, we love, saves me every day? Allison. So Allison gets the biggest shout out of them all. Honestly, I always say, like, if Allison goes away, like I'm dead. Like, like she's been with us for going on 6 years.
Now she's director of operations.
Director of operations. Everybody who knows her loves her. Yes. She's super buttoned
up.
That's amazing. That's who my shout out is. That's who takes the cake. If anybody deserves a shout out, it's Allison.
Yeah. But I would just for your audience, if they are getting into real estate or think about real estate, there is, Cody said it, there's 19, 20 people working behind the scenes all the time to make it happen.
You win an Oscar and you're like, who do you want to thank? And you're like, right. I forgot about Allison.
Yes. Well, what's that one statistic they say? One transaction, I think, feeds, like, I think it was 20 families or something like that. Yeah, and there's like the average three to four people in a family.
I think the average home is $66,000 in commissions. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And
insurance agents. And
so many families are getting help from one transaction. So
it's photographer and
for sure.
There's a lot of people that go involved and that people don't even know. Like they don't even realize how many people are in the back of the scenes, like getting everything done.
We love hearing the answers from our guests whenever we ask for a shout out because, you know, it's not to the, and our audience knows from previous episodes, it's, you know, you may not think of that person in that moment, but we know that they're there, and we always just want to give an opportunity to our guests to say, hey, we also thought of you while we were here.
Yeah,
you know,
but again, who's running my business right now while I'm in here? I'm like, Allison.
And obviously want to call Michelle too.
And Michelle, we've called her out a couple times.
We know, I mean, we know that there's a lot of people for sure. But
yeah. So again, you know, we thank you guys again for sharing your story. But, you know, our podcast is we love Northwest Arkansas. Y'all are natives here. We love being here. I've been here since I was 8 or 9 years old. So I'm a native now. So we want to dive deep in what do we love about Northwest Arkansas. Are there any, you know, parks or trails or anything outdoors that you would recommend for somebody to get that full Arkansas experience?
Well, I'm really impressed with that Mount Hebron Park in Rogers.
That one's really nice.
Yeah, the new park over there. Obviously, all of our trails in our trail system, the Greenway. I've done the square to square on a bike before. That trail ride is amazing. I actually did that with my mom and my sister. And so I was like, hey, if we all could do it, anybody can do that. Like, I think it's like 30 mile.
E-bikes or regular bikes?
No, regular bikes. It takes about 3 hours. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful ride. And you get to see all these like kind of different facets of our area. So I highly recommend that bike ride. Tanier Creek in Bella Vista is really pretty. Yep. So we've taken the girls there before, obviously. Crystal Bridges. I think every field trip, there's like three a year at Crystal Bridges. So we enjoy that a lot. But
and I was going to say, I'm actually not a native. Most people would think I am a native just because now I've been here 20 years, which is funny. But you asked about our story and meeting. I grew up in Miami, Florida, which is a great place.
No way.
Yes.
I'm from Hialeah.
Me too. I'm actually from Palm Springs North.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, nice. There you go. That's cool.
I was born in Palmetto Hospital in Hialeah. Nice. So, second generation or third generation Miami kid. And I moved here, though, Labor Day 2006. I wanted to live here 18 months and then move back to Florida. Because I was like, oh, and I was living in Tampa. I love Tampa. It was awesome. But I will tell you something about this place. You know, now that I've been here 20 years, I will never leave. Cody and I raising our kids, the parks, and you know, it's kind of funny. Top Golf now is like, oh, Top Golf, we have one of those. Mm-hmm. But I remember before we got one, we were like dying for a Top Golf. Now we keep upgrading all the things that we're doing.
That's so true.
So we've done several times with our kids, pickleball and stuff, which is
so
fun.
True.
I like Atlanta in downtown Rogers.
Oh, yes.
Lake Atlanta. That's a favorite. Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Lake Atlanta had the pools. Remember that?
Me too. Yeah. I do remember.
Yeah, the little grills out there.
The spring cold water. And actually, I remember, do you remember when they used to have a little putt-putt golf across from the pool? And then inside was a skating rink as well.
I remember that.
Yep.
What was the thing we did for charity? Lap the lake? We've done that several times with our kids, too.
My parents actually walk that trail, like, a few times.
I remember before they upgraded that trail to just walking, it was, you could drive all the way to the back, and something like that would take
me. I'm like the OG, like, Atlanta, like, yeah.
Yeah, he'd take his big van back there, and then we'd drive out there and be fishing all the way back there, where it's, like, towards the back of the trail. It's all that long straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
We used to park the van and fish.
Yeah.
Well, the audience probably didn't see you, but you had your hands really big. It was like an 18.
Yeah, I had like super wide.
To show how large it really was, right? So. But yeah, downtown Bentonville, there's so many great spots. We're so blessed and lucky, you know.
It just keeps coming. It is such a nice place. And I talk to so many people, and they'll say, man, this place is amazing. Like, you guys have so nice things. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, this is just home for us. Mm-hmm. And I said, I hope it never changes. You know, I feel like, It's people like yourselves, where it's the community. It's we're just connecting. We're just sharing what we love about it, and we're playing the part of like what we grew up with, you know. And you know, so much things are changing, but we're here to keep it. Keep how it is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Real quick, guys, what's a restaurant, cafe, or you know, favorite food or lunch spot here in our area that's always going to leave an impression?
Well, I'm always biased, but my favorite sandwich and coffee place is Iron Horse Coffee Company in downtown Rogers.
This guy loves that place.
Yes.
Iron Horse is great.
My best friend Hillary manages it, and my other best friend Emery Davis owns it, and I used to work there in college. I literally tell people, I'm like, yes, I'm biased, but I actually will go there even when she's not working because it's my favorite sandwich in Northwest Arkansas. So I go down there pretty much anytime I'm downtown Rogers. I stop by Iron Horse.
Have you been over to, I think it's called Great Harvest over in Bentonville by the Bentonville High School? It's called
it's
Great.
It's by the girls' piano lessons place, I think, right? Is it on J Street?
Yes.
Yep.
I've seen that.
They
make
great sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
If you're a big sandwich person, my wife and I are. We've gone there. They make everything fresh daily. They'll give you samples of all their breads when you walk in.
It's right across. And face it. I've been like, what's that Great Harvest place? Yeah. Okay, now I'll have to go in there.
Give it a shot. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
But I know Cody loves, which means I love, mermaids, pastafinas.
He was asking me where I wanted to go for Valentine's Day, and I was like, mermaids. And I was like, well, actually, we haven't been to pastafinas in a while, so either one of those would work.
Yep. There's so many great spots, yep.
Actually, I'll just say I did really love Krabby's too, but they're
gone.
MJ's Pizza, I think he does a really good job. Miles James.
It's like, well, that is one of my favorites, but sad about
Gassano's, that. Gassano's, I keep going. I keep learning. I like pizza, you know, pizza and burgers.
We actually go to Las Fajitas Mexican restaurant every week because our girls have cheer. So Mike doesn't have as much, but we go to Las Fajitas like once a week.
I'm about to plug my favorite.
A shout out to Anna, our waitress.
We have her every time.
Yes.
If you go down 8th Street, if you're going towards, I think, downtown Rogers from like Lowell, and you're on 8th Street, they're on the left-hand side. It's called La Taranda.
Oh, you're funny. Okay.
I love that. I plug it every time I can.
I just had a burrito from them this morning. Yeah.
It's so if you walk in, you're going to be greeted by a grocery store, and you might be confused, like, well, there's no restaurant here. You got to go all the way to the back. I'm telling you, if you want some really good, authentic Mexican food, go to La Taranda. I plug them all the time.
Do we have a secret handshake that we can use from you and tell them you sent us?
We'll all go together. There it is.
I would recommend
mojitos,
it, though.
Mojitos, though, is our 9-year-old's favorite, though. Yeah. She always wants to do mojitos.
Yes. Yes, yes.
I feel like we're doing that at least once a week, something.
Yeah, we definitely have. We like our Mexican restaurants for sure.
Now, when we first started dating, downtown Rogers, we ate all the time.
Las Palmas. Mm-hmm. So another classic.
Oh, yeah, that's another classic. I've been there for a long time, too.
All right. Well, great answer, guys. I think it's such a good time. I'm telling you, I mean, I can't believe an hour has flown by. I could be here longer. And something that we do on this podcast that you may not know is our guests always leave a question for our next guest. Mm. So our previous guest, which was Mr. Joseph Nguyen, the Hangry Peddler, you may or may not know him. He left a question for y'all. His question was, what is one meal you can eat every day for the rest of your life?
Mm. Hers would probably be Iron Horse Sandwich, you know, so.
Gosh, I don't know.
Unfortunately, mine would probably be Chick-fil-A. Unfortunately, I just love Chick-fil-A, and I'll eat it. 8-count, medium fry, large Coke.
I do like some Chipotle, A Chipotle chicken bowl, I have that a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer, yeah.
Chipotle is pretty good.
Yeah. Chipotle, I will say. They kind of check all those.
Yeah, I'm like,
check all those boxes.
I do like my mom's spaghetti, and I do like my Cajun pasta.
Oh, actually, if we're going there, yeah. It's actually called Bob's Soup is what they call it.
Oh, yeah, your favorite's Bob's Soup.
Yep. Your mom, a guy from church. Now, you know, now we're calling it Boppy Soup.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, a lot of good food there. That's a good question.
So we need to create a question for the next person.
Correct.
Right? Yes.
Okay. Mm. And yeah, we'll take two.
Yeah.
So any question, big or small, for the next guest. And I don't know who that is.
This could take a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm reading it. I'm not thinking that straight. I don't know. You could have one job for the rest of your life.
I like that one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
one real good. One job for the rest of your life.
If you could pick any job,
nice.
It doesn't have to be what you're doing. If you could have any job for the rest of your life, what would it be?
That's a good question.
I love that.
Okay, there you go.
This is maybe random, but what's one country in the globe or the world that you think most people don't know about?
Ooh.
Wow. That's tough. Yeah. That is. Oh, wow.
you're even testing my job for skills. I'm trying to think of my head.
Okay. They don't know about it, so they're not going to know the answer.
Or what's their second favorite podcast besides yours?
You know? Oh, there you go.
There you go.
That's pretty good. Nice.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Wow. Cody and Mike, thank you so much for joining Enrique and I. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. A great time with you both. And you guys are always welcome back. All of our guests are welcome back.
Absolutely.
We've always had a great time with them, with you guys. And it just continues to build on, I think, what Enrique and I have started. So thank you guys for doing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. We enjoyed it, too. This was fun.
Great time. Time is valuable. Thank you for your time and the advice. And we hope to have you on again. And thank you again so much. We appreciate it, truly.
Folks. And if you have any questions, if you guys wanted to reach out, you can find us on our Instagram at SoNWA Podcast. And then, of course, we're with Mike and Cody Dooley with Keller Williams Market Pro Realty here in Rogers. So if you guys... We're all here. We're all realtors here, really. So, you know, we'd love to connect.
Yeah,
with
if you don't
guys.
Want to stare at my ugly mug, feel free to talk to Mike or Cody, and they'll be happy to serve your needs.
No, we're all here for it's the people, right? Mm-hmm. It always is. So absolutely. We'd love to serve y'all. So, but everyone, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.